I know we're all guilty of lying in bed, scrolling through this new website we just discovered with the cutest clothes, adding it all to cart, and then remembering your wallet is in the living room and you don't want to get out of bed to go find your credit card number. So then you head to the checkout in hopes that you see that purple shop button. And there it is, the iconic purple Shop Pay button that has all of your payment and shipping information saved, saving you time while you get to stay cozy in bed. Well, that's Shopify. And there's a reason so many businesses sell with it, because Shopify makes everything easier, from checkout to creating your own storefront. Shopify is the commerce platform behind 10% of all e-commerce in the US, from household names like Skims and Rhode to brands just getting started. It gives you that leg up from day one with hundreds of beautiful, ready-to-go templates to express your brand style. You could tackle all of the important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more, including spreading the word on your brand with built-in marketing and email tools to find and keep new customers. And as for that iconic purple Shop Pay button, it's why Shopify has the best converting checkout on the planet. Your customers already love it. If you want to see less carts being abandoned, it's time for you to head over to Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/forthegirls. Go to shopify.com/forthegirls. Shopify.com/forthegirls. I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalerio.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalerio.com. You're listening to a For the Girls podcast Flashback Friday episode. Every Friday, I reshare an older episode for new listeners who haven't heard it, or as a refresher for OG listeners who might need to hear it again as a reminder. Enjoy, and I'll see you with a new episode on Monday.
Settling is not an option for me. Everything I desire is already mine. What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of For the Girls. I'm your host, Victoria Alario. And today we're talking about emotional availability, emotional unavailability, more specifically in your partner. We are going to be trying to answer the question today: is my partner emotionally available? Is my partner emotionally unavailable? And guess what? If the shoe fits for you, then you might as well wear it too, because I might actually end up calling some of you girls out. You never know. Some of us might be struggling with emotional availability and we don't even know it. But I notice that this happens a lot in relationships where, like, say that, you're having an issue or an argument with your boyfriend or whoever, and he is just not understanding. He's just not seeing where you're coming from. And sometimes that's not just someone being hard-headed. That might be a matter of that person really struggling to connect emotionally and be really emotionally immature and ultimately emotionally unavailable. I saw a video that had, I want to say, honestly, like 10,000 freaking comments on it. And it was a very quick video. It wasn't anything substantial. It was like, she wasn't even talking in it. It was just a video of like a girl in a car with like an audio, like a sound over it. And it said, written on the screen, "All I was asking for was reassurance, and I started World War III instead." And every single comment was like, "Oh my God, why is this me? Oh my God, why can I relate?" Every single time that I'm just trying to get some validation or reassurance from my boyfriend, why does it turn into an argument? Why does me asking for words of affirmation or just the feeling of love turn into a fight every single time? What is going on? I thought this was just me. I never wanted to tell anybody this. I'm so embarrassed. Like, the amount of girls in the comments that were like, oh my God, I've never felt so seen in my life. That right there, that is a sign of an emotionally unavailable partner, an emotionally unavailable boyfriend or husband. That right there is a sign, the sign of a man who just cannot connect and understand you in an emotionally mature capacity. And we need to really, like, we need to pay attention to this, okay, when picking our partners. I do think that people show who they are pretty early on. If they're not showing it on maybe the first or second date, because that might be, you know, asking a lot, they at least show who they are in those first 3 to 5 months. And if you are noticing these signs in those first, you know, early stages, those first 3 to 5 months, you gotta work on it right away. You cannot end up in a relationship for years and years and years where you can't open up. You can't ask for reassurance. You can't ask for validation, because it turns into, like she said, World War III. If your man shuts down every single time you try to have like a serious conversation, or if your man sees you as arguing when you're simply trying to express yourself, trying to express your needs, or if your man just simply doesn't want to hear it because he thinks that you're being needy, he thinks that you're asking for too much, he thinks that you're being annoying, when all you really were looking for was just some love, then you got, this is a serious thing. You really need to figure out what you're going to do with the information that you are now being provided today. And I'm going to give you some tips on how to help your partner become more emotionally available. I'm going to give you some tips for yourself to utilize as well, how to become more emotionally available. But for the most part, if this is not enough, if this is like a real grown man, someone in their 30s, someone in their 40s, where, you know, they're not going to change, these habits and tips are not going to do anything, then there's different things that you need to look into that are like a step above taking my advice. A lot of people go to couples therapy. A lot of people go to premarital therapy. Like, it's a form of preventative, you know, issues. It's not like going to couples therapy. I don't really know how to explain it. It's not just about going to therapy after the problem, you know, ensues, but it's more like going to therapy as a form of preventing problems. There's a lot of preventative therapy. Like, there's all different things. I can't say that I've experienced it, but I have a lot of friends who have, and they're like, going to therapy in any stage of the relationship was the best thing that they could have done for their relationship, because he was never gonna hear, like, he just wasn't gonna get it from me. It took going like the next step to really make the change. All I know is that there are one too many girls who are just trying to feel loved and receive love, but unfortunately expressing themselves turns into an argument every single time. And if that's you, it's, you know, really time to reflect and figure out what is going on with the relationship, and if this is a relationship that is healthy and can progress, or if this is a relationship that really can never get there, because you don't want this to turn into a toxic or unhealthy situation ever, ever, ever. So I know I keep throwing the words out there, emotionally unavailable, emotionally available. What even am I talking about? What is emotional availability in the first place? It is quite literally the ability to connect emotionally. It is that simple. The ability to connect emotionally with others, especially your romantic partner, and to maintain an emotional connection in your relationship and in your friendships. Being emotionally available requires maturity. It requires the ability to be vulnerable, to be expressive, to have good communication skills, to be able to communicate openly and honestly. And it can directly, and it will directly affect and improve and progress your relationships. If you are strong in these areas, if you are somebody who has no issue being vulnerable and getting deep and communicating, you will see like the healthiest, strongest relationships flourish. And the more emotionally available somebody is, the more they can feel a wide variety of emotions, both wanted and unwanted emotions, and be able to express them openly. And I'm talking both ends of the spectrum. Happy, sad, excited, mad, jealous, angry, frustrated, feeling good, feeling positive, feeling emotional. It's just the ability to feel everything, both good and bad. And it's the ability to be able to tap into your beliefs and be honest about them and to be able to share your feelings without feeling like bottled up. And it's not only about yourself being able to share, it's also about you being able to make the space and hold the space for other people's emotions as well. And being able to really be there for others and respond to them from a mature place. Because there's sometimes where people have no issue expressing themselves. I know plenty of people who are an open book. They love to ramble. They love to share everything on their mind, everything on their heart. But then also at the same time, they don't really know how to hold the space for others to share theirs. Because some people are a little bit on like the self-centered side. Some people are a little, dare I say, narcissistic. And a lot of those people really live life on autopilot mode, which is just simply not living mindfully, not living consciously. And I talk a lot about mindfulness and conscious living. And this is a prime example of why it's important to apply mindfulness and consciousness to your lifestyle, because the more mindful you are, then the more emotionally available you are, the more that you can hold space for your partner, especially when your partner is coming to you to express themselves. You're able to tune into that. You're able to pick up on that. Sometimes if your partner is just like not really making the effort and taking the extra steps to understand you and to understand your heart, then they won't really be able to catch like the triggers. Like, you know, when there's somebody who knows you so well that like you don't even have to directly say it, they could just pick up on what's happening. If you just start to present something to them and like express one thing, even if you're not directly saying like, I really need reassurance right now, that person will know this is what you're looking for based on like behaviors, based on patterns, based on like past and just paying attention to you. They'll know what you're coming to them for, as opposed to somebody who's just like tuned out to you, somebody who doesn't pay attention to you, somebody that you don't really feel seen or heard by. You might have to be just like nothing but direct to them, because like I said, they're not in tune to you, so they won't really be able to pick up on your signals and stuff like that. And that also really kind of like is stemmed from living life on autopilot mode and living life like just not mindfully. So the more mindful and conscious that you are, the more emotionally available that you are, the stronger relationships, your relationships will become, since you show that you have like this clear ability to get close to others, to get to know others, to feel comfortable speaking to them, and also allow them that safe feeling in return to be vulnerable and open with you. Now, on the contrary, the complete opposite of that is emotional unavailability. Whereas this is, imagine every single thing I just said flipped. So emotional unavailability involves like really struggling to express yourself, difficulty expressing and handling your emotions. You tend to not really have control over your emotions. Maybe you snap quickly on people, you get like shiesty and nasty and sassy and petty like real quick, because you just immediately jump to frustration and you don't really know how to express frustration or handle and control your frustration. So instead you're just like, you come from a really, really immature place. It is also just in general the inability to make space for others to share their emotions with you, and the inability to get close to others, because it's like having a fear of that. You have a fear of commitment. You have a fear of intimacy. So think about a situation where you may have been like emotionally unavailable yourself, in the sense that like you're like, this person is great, but like I just can't like let myself get close to them. I just feel really like closed off to them, or you know, tuned out to them. That is that feeling of emotional unavailability, or even vice versa, when you feel like you've tried to get close with someone, you've tried to, you know, let somebody in, you've tried to have them let you in, but they're just not getting there. again, that is them being emotionally unavailable. So some like signs that you could really pinpoint, like maybe some tangibles to pinpoint if you are emotionally unavailable, would be, for starters, having that fear of commitment or that fear of intimacy, like I just mentioned. So you'd rather keep your options open at all times in anything, not only dating, but we'll use that for example. So like, for example, in the early stages of dating, of course you'd want to keep your options open because you aren't going to commit to someone that you don't know. You're not going to commit to someone without even knowing them or being sure if they are the right fit for you yet. But this sign here about like keeping your options open at all times is when you know that someone or something is good for you, but instead of embracing that and treating it as special, you would rather protect yourself and push it away. So you'd rather have options to fall back on. We see this all the time when people start to develop feelings for someone, but then they get scared of those feelings. So instead of being vulnerable and wearing their heart on their sleeve and like going all in on it, they push it away. They don't want to get hurt. So they're like, let me just keep this person at an arm's length. Let me just keep my options open because it may seem like the safer option to have plan B, C, and D. I can't put all my eggs into just basket A. And like I said, in the beginning of dating, fine. But as time goes on, you don't want to treat people like an option. You want people to know how you're feeling. And you're actually a lot more likely to make your plan A work if you treat it like the priority that it is to you deep down, and if you are vulnerable, because vulnerability and allowing yourself the potential of getting hurt will ultimately lead to things working out in your favor more likely than not. Another sign that you may be emotionally unavailable is that relationships drain you. They deplete your energy or they make you feel really anxious. I know a lot of people talk about like anxious attachment, and I'm not like really big on all the different attachment styles. I still want to do an episode on them. I want to like have somebody talk about them. If you know a creator, maybe it's like a therapist or somebody who is like well-versed in discussing the attachment styles. There's like anxious attachment, secure attachment. There's all different styles. Send them my way. DM me their profile or whoever if you think that this is someone that you would like to hear me talk about this stuff with, because I'm definitely open to it. But in any case, if this is you, if you get really anxious and relationships deplete or drain your energy, like I just said, this is when you find that relationships bring out the insecurities in you rather than positive feelings. It's like even when things are not bad, even when things are going perfectly fine, you still have that little voice in your head that self-sabotages you and makes you doubt it. And so now you have that little voice in your head telling you all the reasons why this won't work, and it's making you overthink, and it's constantly putting you in a position of overthinking and feeling really anxious about everything, or having you overanalyze and look into every little detail, and it finds you constantly questioning like, he said this, what does this mean? Or he didn't answer for this long, what does it mean? If you're trying to really like overdo the who, what, when, where, why, how of every single situation, and you are completely draining yourself in the meantime, that right there tells you like this is a big sign of emotional unavailability. It's just getting super, super anxious and feeling super, super drained because you can't enjoy the present. You are gonna find every single which way to ask your friends like, what do I say to this? What do I say to that? That right there, that's a sign. Another sign also goes hand in hand with the first one about like committing and the fear of commitment and protecting yourself. This is about backing out. So say that you agree to commit to something, but then you do kind of do that self-sabotaging. You do end up backing out. Another big sign, it's when you take 10 steps forward and then 11 steps back. It's like, what's that song by Olivia Rodrigo? It's like, we take 10 steps forward, 3 steps back, something like that. Like, it's when you finally make progress, when you finally get a step forward, but then you can't progress, you can't keep going all the way forward because you would rather end it first on your own terms than somebody else end it and hurt you. It's kind of like just having a limiting belief altogether that things won't work out. And so you're not really willing to keep things going. Like every single time that you do have a commitment come your way, you just back out instead. Another thing is that you may really struggle with trust. I always hear people talk about trust issues, which is something that I unfortunately never struggled with. I've always been a very trusting person, and I've always given people the benefit of the doubt, which is like good in some ways, but I've also been royally screwed over by people because of it. But for the most part, if you are the type of person who's like one strike and you're out, you don't give any room for grace, you don't give any room for understanding, this is another sign of emotional unavailability. You just will not give people the benefit of doubt. You cannot trust people. You know how there's always like innocent until proven guilty? That's the saying in like court and the law and whatever. Instead, you're like, no, everyone is guilty until proven innocent. You see it the complete other way around. You think of everybody as bad until they prove to you that they're good. Maybe you struggle with forgiveness. Maybe you always have a guard up. You like have your walls up. You can't let anybody in. Forgiving and putting that wall down will require you to really have like just the ultimate strength. It will require you to be mentally and emotionally stronger and more mature than you have ever been. And that will take a lot out of you to really get there with people. Another one is really struggling to say how you actually feel. Like you would rather say, it's fine, I'm fine, it doesn't matter, and sweep things under the rug than express yourself. This one's really important because you can't connect without communication. Like I said in the beginning, emotional availability is the ability to connect with others on a deeper level, open, honest, and clear communication. So if you can't do that, you will never be able to get your full point across. You will never be able to express yourself thoughtfully. So if you struggle with this, it'll ultimately feel really hard to be vulnerable and to get the words out about your true feelings. So instead, you just let it weigh on your chest all this time or bottle up inside you, and then it eventually like bursts out of you and like you finally have a breakdown. And really, like, you do that because you don't want to be annoying. You don't want to be asking for too much. You don't want to say too much. You don't want to do too much. So you might just find it easier to let things go then carry on, but really it's just going to hurt you so much more in the end. Now let's quickly go through some signs that you may have an emotionally unavailable partner. I'm not going to like break them all down with tons of details, but I'm going to just kind of like list them off because I feel like if you know, you know. If you're experiencing this in any capacity, then you know your partner is emotionally unavailable. Let's talk about something every girl wants: healthy, glowing skin that looks and feels good. And that's where Dionys Goat Milk Skincare comes in. I was introduced to Dionys earlier this year when I visited their farm, and I got to test out all kinds of products, from hand creams to body lotion, skincare, and their new lip masks, just to name a few. After I went to the farm, I learned that goat milk is loaded with vitamins and nutrients, which is so nourishing for your skin, and I also learned that we share the same pH as goats, which is why Dionys' products moisturize so well and never leave a greasy feel. I've been using and loving the goat butter lip mask, the vanilla bean being my favorite, and honestly, it's been a game changer. Everyone's always asking what I use on my lips, and there's truly nothing like it. It gives you the softest, most hydrated lips ever, and it actually lasts, unlike every other lip balm and mask I've tried before that I constantly have to reapply. But what I especially love about Dionys is that it's clean, cruelty-free, and designed to be simple. Plus, it's women-founded and women-led, and if there's one thing I've made clear on For the Girls, it's that we support the girls. These women know their stuff, and I love everything they do. So if you want to give your skin a little extra love today, check out Dionys Goat Milk Skincare. You can find them at DionysGMSkincare.com. That's DionysGMSkincare.com. Use code FTG20 to save 20% off site-wide. Again, that's code FTG20 to save 20% off. Calling all the girls who love a spicy romance novel, it is time to binge read the Second Son series from bestselling author Emily Rath. I just read the second book of the trilogy, His Grace the Duke, and this one is complete with not one, but three very different suitors. Each one will try anything, risk anything, and be anything our leading lady needs. But as for her, she can't help but wonder, why choose? I wasn't just reading, I was blushing, laughing, and fanning myself quite a lot. It's smart, sexy, and gives you all the emotional payoff with none of the outdated tropes. I am telling you, girls, this ultra steamy book is not your mother's Regency romance. If you love the humor and heart of Jane Austen and the sexy vibes of Bridgerton, this series is definitely for you. Re-releasing with a gorgeous new cover and sprayed edges, His Grace the Duke is available wherever books are sold starting October 28th. You girls know I'm always sharing my latest book recommendations, and I have to tell you about the book I just finished, Guardian Demon by Aurora Asher. You wouldn't think a romance starring a demon hero could feel cozy, but it could. This is a light, paranormal romance with a grumpy sunshine dynamic, one of the biggest fan favorite reader tropes, and I mean it quite literally. She's an angel named Sunshine, and he's a demon with a forgotten past. It's forbidden love, found family, and pure popcorn reading fun. Think fantasy, but rom-com. I was laughing out loud and totally swooning by the end. This one is perfect for spooky season, but without the dark vibes. Just humor, heart, and heat, because of course us girls love a little bit of spice. This was one of those books where I picked it up one night planning to read just a few chapters, but then ended up staying up until 2 a.m. because I could not stop. So Guardian Demon by Aurora Asher is on sale now wherever books are sold, and you've got to make sure to grab the gorgeous deluxe edition before it's gone. Holiday shopping season is officially here, my favorite time of the year, and Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. Don't make the mistake of waiting. We all know the most meaningful gifts get scooped up fast, and now is the perfect time to cross names off your list. You'll find so many handmade products or products made in the US, with many crafted by independent artists and small businesses, making every gift truly one of a kind. I found the perfect customizable gift for the foodies in my life and immediately added to cart. It's a personalized family recipe serving board that you could either hand write and scan a recipe onto or type it on, and it is so special. And of course, I had to get myself a little something because I found this Christmas movie play-along card game, and I cannot wait to play this on our Christmas movie marathon nights, which you already know we will be having plenty of. Uncommon Goods really does have something for everyone, from parents to kids and teens, from book lovers to football fans. All your family and friends are covered. There's no better feeling when getting your holiday shopping done than knowing when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so be sure to shop now before they sell out this holiday season. And with every purchase you make, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They have donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/forthegirls. That's uncommongoods.com/forthegirls for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. So for starters, they avoid commitment or labels. They just simply don't want to label it. They don't want to put a title on it. They feel pressured by putting a label or a title on it. They can't really have deep conversations. Conversations just stay really surface level. You might feel like you talk so much, you talk every day, but yet you still don't know anything about them deep down. It's like, we talk every day, but he doesn't let me all the way in, or our conversations just feel really boring. Next, they struggle to discuss their feelings at all, unless you have to pull it out of them. They don't volunteer information based on their feelings, or they don't bring up certain conversations. They don't like to disclose what they're dealing with, or even if you do ask, it's like nothing is ever a big deal or nothing matters. No, I don't care. No, it's not a big deal. No, it doesn't bother me. When it's like, this probably should bother you. We probably should talk about it. And then they also don't ask about your feelings. You may be going through something. You may even very much be sharing, like, I'm having a bad day, but they just simply don't ask about your feelings. They may ask, oh, what happened? But they don't really take the time to sit with your feelings and ask about them. Maybe they struggle to empathize. Maybe they struggle to respond when you share your feelings. Like, they may be listening to you and part of the conversation with you, but you still feel unheard. It's like talking to a wall. Maybe they're not actively responding, or they're not actively engaging with you. They're not actively connecting with you. Something that is extremely true to understand that I have said so many times is that communication is the bare minimum. Communication is not the goal. The goal is comprehension. Okay, understand that. Communication is the bare minimum, not the goal. The goal is comprehension, because you can talk about anything and everything that's on your mind and you could say a million words, but if they don't understand, then none of it matters. Nothing that you said matters if they don't understand where you're coming from or what you're saying. Next, maybe they're unclear about what they want from you or the relationship. Maybe they're really hot and cold. They give a lot of mixed signals. Like when you're together, you're like, oh, he must really like me, whatever. But then when you're apart, you don't really hear from them. It's like very back and forth. And you just, again, hot and cold. You don't really know 100% what they actually want from you or this relationship. Maybe they don't trust you, even when you know you've given them no reason to feel that way. You're like really consistent and really loyal, and you've given them truly nothing to be worried about. But for some reason, they still feel like they can't fully trust you. That goes along with the trust issues that I mentioned maybe you might struggle with before. When people really struggle with trust issues, even for no apparent reason, that is a big sign of emotional availability. Next, maybe they are inconsistent. A way that I have described this before is when they introduce you to a vibe that they can't maintain. So they're one way to you from the beginning, but then as time goes on and weeks goes on, they get really comfortable, and then they fall right back into like their old ways, and they just don't really like make the effort that they made for you in the beginning. And so they're inconsistent with how often they reach out, how often they make plans, how often they make effort. And then maybe you find that you're the one who's doing all the relationship work and all of the emotional connection effort. So it might be like, well, he is there, he's present, but when it comes to like making emotional connection, that all comes from me. We would never have deep conversations if it wasn't for me. We would never really connect on a deeper level if it weren't for me. So that is something big to pay attention to. Next, it's really important to notice if they always get defensive and feel like you communicating with them is you attacking them. Like if you're just telling them how you feel, then they turn around and say like, oh, I can't do anything right. Oh, you're never happy. And it's like, that's not true. Why are you getting so defensive? Why are you getting so angry? I don't think that you do everything wrong. I don't think I'm never happy. Like, where is this even coming from? If they're just getting that defensive, again, red flag, big sign. Two more things. Next, things don't progress because they say they don't want to rush. That right there goes with what I was saying before about like the fear of commitment. They're like, oh, I don't want to rush things. I want things to just like take its time. And you're like, well, we've been seeing each other for 6 months. I wouldn't really think that that's rushing at this point. Like I would think at this point we can progress the relationship. Yeah, they have a fear of commitment. Bad sign. And lastly, if you have to tell them about the same problem more than once, this is a really big one. Having the same conversations about the same issues because they don't make the changes after already speaking about how this affects you, big problem. Someone doing something that hurts you once, like unknowingly, that's innocent. They didn't know. They're not a mind reader. They may have hurt you, but they did not know. Now you told them. So them doing that same thing again after knowing it bothers you, that's intentional. And that is somebody who has no emotional maturity. That is somebody who is living on pure autopilot mode. They are not mindful. They are not conscious. Every time you tell them something, it goes in one ear and out the other. That is somebody who just does not care about your feelings, and that's somebody who is just not present when you do communicate your feelings with them. It is super important to be able to pay attention to these things and to be mindful of these things. And I promise when I say your relationships will improve if you're aware of these things. The more emotionally available you are and your partner is, everything will just get so much better because now you'll be building true intimacy. Everybody thinks of intimacy as like sex and physicalness, but the truth is, true intimacy in a relationship is the deep emotional stuff. It is being able to be who you are, the weirdest, craziest version of yourself with your partner, and know that you won't be judged, and knowing that you can trust them with your life, and you're gonna be gaining trust too throughout like this process, and you're gonna become entirely comfortable, and you're gonna be able to be your most divine self, and this is when you will have true relationship security. There is no form of physical intimacy that will provide relationship security the way that emotional intimacy will. This is true emotional connection, and this is what a healthy relationship looks like. Having true divine emotional availability will take you from struggling to thriving. So now I told you all of the signs that you might be emotionally unavailable, and I told you all of the signs that your partner might be emotionally unavailable. So now we're going to get into how both of you can become more emotionally available. So as far as what you can do, first things first is to get as mindful as you possibly can about your emotional experience. So this is about knowing how something makes you feel. So this is about really knowing your needs and knowing your emotions and being able to pinpoint why it makes you feel that way. So own your experiences and own your feelings. Next, identify the causes of your emotional unavailability, which means like, where does that unavailability come from? Are these original beliefs? Are these limiting beliefs? Were they influenced by someone? Is this something that was brought from your childhood? Like, is there a specific moment from your childhood that traumatized you? Or maybe trauma from a past relationship that has caused you to be this way? Was there someone in particular who made you feel unheard or like your feelings don't matter? What trauma has stuck with you that affects your ability to emotionally connect? Really, really, really be able to identify the cause of that. Next, practice opening up as much as you possibly can and take it slow. Start within and start journaling. Answer some journal prompts that you like come across on Pinterest or journal prompts that I have shared on, you know, this podcast, or just even brain dumping in your journal. It doesn't even have to be specific prompts. You could just write about whatever's coming to you. And then as you add more, just allow yourself to start digging deeper and deeper and opening up more and more. Sometimes it's easier to start on your own in private in your journal, or sometimes it's easier to start with people that you could like talk to and just like have your friends or family, like whoever that you feel like you could talk to, maybe before even going to your partner, or maybe going to your partner first is the best thing that you think there is for you. But as long as you feel safe in your opening up, that's the whole goal. Like, you don't want to just like go full throttle. You want to practice opening up, taking it slowly. Like I said, journaling, putting pen to paper, maybe that is the first step before speaking your feelings or whatever the case is, but just like make sure that you do it in a place that makes you feel really safe and, you know, comfortable and secure doing it. Next, identify what you feel the need to protect yourself from. Like, really pay attention to what your fears are. Why do you have fears of commitment? Why do you have fears around opening up? What do you believe is the worst thing that can happen? Did something happen once before that now you feel the need to protect yourself from happening again? Like, really just be able to say, this is what I fear. This is what I feel like has hurt me in the past or whatever the case is. And this is what I feel like I need to protect myself from. Next, practice self-compassion and forgiveness. I believe that this was just reposted on Friday as a Flashback Friday episode. The episode is titled, You Need to Forgive Yourself. And that episode, it's a quick one. It's like a 20-minute episode, maybe even less, 17 minutes, about forgiving yourself, giving yourself grace. It is a really old episode, like from a couple of years ago. I actually was listening back to it when I was editing the episode, and I said in the episode, I'm 26 years old. And guys, I'm 29 now. Oh my God. That means that episode was almost 3 years ago, because I know I didn't exactly hit 3 years yet, but it probably was right before I hit 27 years old. So it was like 2.5 years ago. And wow, I am scared of that. I'm scared of how fast time is flying. But in any case, I did just re-upload the episode this Friday, Flashback Friday. You need to forgive yourself. And yeah, just give yourself grace. You're human. Act like it. You won't do everything perfectly. You might not always get it right, but who cares? You cannot name one person on the planet who has the ability to not make mistakes. So don't dwell on your mistakes. Forgive yourself. Have compassion for yourself and have patience with yourself. Next, make sure you can call yourself out on your own bullshit. Identify your unhealthy behavior patterns. Identify those toxic traits that you might have. Hold yourself accountable. It really may be a hard pill to swallow, but there are certain self-sabotaging behaviors that you probably do right now that you are not even aware of. things that create friction and distance in your relationships, or maybe you burn bridges, or you just ultimately do things that make you feel bad afterwards? Is it the way that you confront people, or maybe you always end up arguing with people, or do you shut people out, or do you push people away, or do you get super defensive like we mentioned before? Do you take things personally? Whatever it is, pay attention to those behaviors. And lastly, stop telling people what they want to hear. Stop being a people pleaser. I keep talking about this, but people pleasing is doing way more harm than good when it comes to tapping into your emotional availability, because then you're not speaking your truth, and you need to speak from your heart. You need to speak from your heart. You need to speak from the truth. You need to get real with people. You need to get honest with people, and watch how much better you will connect with them when you're just honest and when you're just real and when you own your feelings. And then to wrap this up, let's talk about how you can help your partner to become more emotionally available. It's really important to note that you don't have to dismiss someone right away. You don't have to write someone off right away for this. Your relationship isn't doomed. It's not destined to fail. The same way that I am sitting here telling you how to become more emotionally available, someone else can do the same things and work on it. So maybe your partner isn't going to necessarily listen to this episode, but there are some things that you can do as a partner to, you know, really help them get there, to really help them open up. So you could be a good partner in just sharing, like, you know, certain things and whatnot, and doing certain things to help them. First, give them the same compassion and patience that you give yourself. How I just mentioned earlier, forgive yourself, have some self-compassion. Same thing, give them grace. Like I said to you, you're human, they're human too. We are all existing for the first time. None of us have been here before. None of us have done this before. None of us have had this figured out from our first life. You know, like, this is our first and only life. This is our first time doing it. So give people grace. They are learning too. It's the same way that we are learning. Next, figure out the underlying issue. Okay, ask questions to your partner and don't be afraid to dig deep. Sometimes, yeah, you gotta annoy them a little bit. It doesn't matter. Sometimes people take things out on the wrong people, and sometimes you're that person. Sometimes you're that target, even when it has nothing to do with you, even when it's something completely different bothering them. Or maybe it is an unhealthy behavior pattern or a toxic trait that they are struggling to break. And maybe they want to break that pattern. Maybe they don't want to keep lashing out on you, but they can't help themselves. It's just a trauma. It's just something that they have within them. So you can help them by trying to get to the root of the problem instead of only focusing on the surface level issue at hand, because it might be a lot deeper than you think. So you're like getting mad at them for getting mad at you, but realistically, there's a much deeper issue that's not even being addressed. So try to find the underlying issue. Third, check in about stressors, because there's all different things that happen in life. So just check in and make sure everything is all good, whether it's work, money, family, anything that's actively causing them stress and affecting their everyday habits and mindset. Pay attention. Ask about these things. You have no idea. There's so many different like societal pressures and things that go on that people struggle with on a daily basis. Even like their body, people might be having insecurities about their body, the way that they look. They're just like unhappy with themselves. And then that stresses them out. And then that causes stress in their everyday life. Next, find a middle ground. Relationships are about compromise. As much as we don't want to admit it, it is as simple as that. Drop the ego, drop the stubbornness. And sometimes you just gotta meet in the middle. You just gotta find that compromise. Fifth, encourage them and support them when they open up. Do not shut them down. Do not, you know, downplay their feelings, because especially when it's someone who already struggles to begin with, this is really important for them to this is a really important time for them to feel more supported and encouraged than ever, because if you don't, then he's going to stop altogether. So If you don't encourage, if you argue with them, if you don't support them, if you shut them down, then they will stop opening up altogether, and they will feel like they can't talk to you. If you're super short with them, if you're super dismissive with them, they're not going to feel comfortable. They're not going to feel good confiding in you, and it's just going to turn into an unhealthy cycle, and you don't want that. Next, pick your battles. This is actually something that I spoke about with Lindsay Metzeler on my episode. Sorry, I'm like lagging a little bit because I'm trying to think of what the episode was titled, but I think it was called like the Dating and Relationships Rulebook. So I definitely suggest listening to that episode, whether you're single or in a relationship. We talk about all different dating and relationships rules, and picking your battles was definitely one of them. And it's really just important to note that not everything is a top priority. Not everything is a deal breaker. Not everything is a non-negotiable. Not everything is going to be at the tippity top of your totem pole. Some things are more important than others. Some things are a want, not a need. Not everything is a need. So make sure you know the difference between a want and a need. And don't nitpick. You don't have to nitpick about everything. You're probably not going to have 100% of your boxes checked, but that's okay. That's important. It's not to say that like you should deal with someone who's showing red flags and not giving you what you need, but it is to say that some things are just not a battle that you need to pick at. And it's also not to say that you shouldn't voice your concerns. Of course, you should voice your concerns, but just make sure that you think about certain things before you speak. And think about how important something is or is not before you make something out of it. And lastly, number 7, find solutions. Remember that you are a team and it's you two versus the problem, not you two against each other. When there is an issue, it should be me and you versus the issue, not me versus you. Okay, there's a difference. So don't be like throwing around accusations. Don't go into conflict mode. Don't go into confrontation mode. Don't get like super defensive. Don't make them the problem. Don't start fighting each other. Rather, address the problem as its own sole entity and make the conversation, not argument, conversation between you two on how to solve that problem together. Like, this is what's bothering me. These are my concerns. This in itself is the isolated issue. Now, how can you and I fix that issue rather than I have this issue with you or you are causing this issue? So really try to be solution oriented and try to work as a team together. And that is everything. So I wanted this episode to be like super clear cut, super black and white, no room for confusion. It's just here are the signs if you are emotionally unavailable or if your partner is emotionally unavailable. And here's what you can do to improve and become more emotionally available. And here's how you can help your partner who may be struggling with this and help encourage them to become more emotionally available. And that is just everything that I have. So that's all we have for today. Thank you, girls, so much for listening. Until next time, girls. I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalerio.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalerio.com.